And Josh, you always know as well, the old school geocaches, they're the ones with like just the word love or just, you know, Fred and Wilma.
Yeah.
You know, like
right.
Right. they're not like, you
Bob.
Know, they're Bob. Yeah. They're not like, you know, Batman 357214. Like,
it's true.
Yep.
Do you love to travel?
Do you love finding hidden treasures in towns all over the USA? Hi, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Craig, and welcome to Treasures of Our Town, the podcast that explores unique and charming towns scattered throughout the United States.
Join us as we venture into some of the country's most intriguing destinations, uncovering hidden gems and local secrets along the way.
Josh, on today's episode, we chat to a world traveler, a geocaching, I'm going to say expert, and a very,
oh, yes.
and a good, very good friend of yours and mine, Annie Love
is she's going be on the to show join today. Us.
Yeah.
What a great name. That's actually her real name.
I know. What name does she go by with geocaching? She goes under a different name.
She's just Love on geocaching.
Oh, that's right.
That's it. She's just Love. L-O-V-E. Love. That's it.
I like it.
Mate. Oh my gosh, Craig, I haven't seen you in person since we were in Florida together. How are you?
I'm well. On a bit of a road trip at the moment as well, currently. Situated, you could probably hear the difference in this audio slightly. I'm hoping not, but we'll soon see. I'm recording this, Josh, from my car. Yes, from my
car. You're in your car.
Car.
You're on the road.
I'm on the road in my car.
It seems so appropriate that a travel podcast, at least one of the hosts, are in a car
exactly.
on a road trip.
Exactly.
So,
Why not?
So where have you been this week?
Well, this week I've driven down from New Jersey, obviously, and I've gone south, Josh, because it's winter as well. So you go south for the winter to get some warmer weather. Yeah. So I've gone all the way through down to Cape May, and then I did the car ferry across Cape May, and then into Virginia? Not Virginia, no.
Okay.
No, not Virginia. What's the name? Delaware. Oh, how can I forget? Delaware, and then Delaware into Maryland. And then I did, Josh, I did the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. If no one knows what that is, I'm going to do a link in the description for the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. But it is a bridge, Josh, that spans miles. I'm talking like almost 20 miles long, this bridge.
How long did it take you to get across it?
About 20 minutes? Yeah, about 20 minutes to get across. And it's a bridge, and then you go into a tunnel, and then a bridge, and then a tunnel, and then another bridge. So, yeah. That's how it works.
Does the tunnel go underwater?
Yes.
Kind of?
Yeah. It has to. So in those tunnel parts, when they go underwater, they go deep enough underwater. Therefore, like boats, et cetera, large boats can go over. So boats are actually traveling over the top of you as you're going under the tunnels. So there you go.
Oh, my gosh. That's fascinating. So what has been the best thing that you saw this week?
Well, By far, the best thing I saw this week was actually a virtual geocache. And of course, as always, we love our travels, but it's guided by our love of geocaching. This was a virtual cache, Josh. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'll go here, have a look. It's just a photo. I didn't have to do any questions. It's a 2002 cache. That's an older one as well. I went there. It was called Pirate Ships. I went there. There was no one around. It's in like a national park or a state park. There was no one around. Parked the car. Got out of the car, went to have a look at, and it's like onto this bay sort of area, big water bay area. And Josh, there's scuttled ships in one long line, nose to nose. What do you call it? Like starboard to port, whatever it's called, like with front to back.
That's side to side.
Port,
I mean, and starboard. Yeah. So it's bow and.
Bow and whatever the.
What's the front of the ship?
I don't know.
Bow in the front of the ship. The people right now are screaming at their speakers right now because they're like, Josh, how could you not know the name of a front of a ship?
But there was 12 of them, and they were nose to tail, basically. There you go, nose to tail, we'll say. They were nose to tail. They were all like old. But the best part was when I was there, I was in the afternoon, and you had a lot of the sea mist and the sea fog. So they looked like true blue pirate ships. So yeah, I took a few photos, and you know what? I'll put one on my social media this week too, so you'll see it. But yeah, beautiful, stunning.
I think I saw that.
Yeah,
you're certainly having a little bit of a Goonies adventure as you are on that East Coast.
Yes, I know, right? So yeah, that would probably be my best place that I've seen in the last week that I've been on the road. So I've been traveling from there. So.
And I'm sorry, where was that again? Do you remember the city?
That's near the Pennsylvania, what do you call it? Peninsula, going down the Maryland Peninsula. So, okay. Yeah, you go down the Maryland Peninsula, and it's along there as well. I'll put the GC code, of course, link into the description too for everyone.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, yeah. And where are you heading there? Next? Well, I want to know more about you. I've been just sitting here in my couch.
Of course, because it's snowing.
You're the one that has the interesting life this week, but where are you heading next?
Well, I was going to say, I tried to do, Josh, you know, the Cash Across America series we've spoken about before?
Yes. We've talked about that, yeah.
We did, and I tried to do the one in Delaware, but it was closed off for the hunting season.
Oh,
but the CO, bummer. So I put a right note saying, with a photo there saying, closed the hunting season, I can't get to this. So the CO writes to me saying, you know, try this angle. So I had a look, and I went, no, there's no thing like that. Those coordinates aren't anywhere near what it is. Are you sure it's the right cache? And she's like, oh, no, sorry, I gave you the wrong cache details. Oh, yeah, that one's closed for hunting this time of the year. That's it. I'm like, she goes, well, next time you come back, I go, I'm from Australia. And she goes, well, you know, happy vacation.
Oh.
I'm like, I was hoping to do a YouTube video. She goes, oh, well, next time.
That's a bummer.
I know. So what I say that for is because tomorrow or the next day, depending on the weather, I hope to do the Cash Across America here, though, in Virginia.
Very cool.
So I'll do that one, and I'll film it there. Yeah, well,
because you know the Cash Across America. One I tried in Minnesota, I could not find, and I'm pretty convinced it's missing because nobody's found it after me.
Right.
But also, I don't think anybody's tried after me after I DNF'd it.
This is true, and it wasn't just you though. It was you and Jonah. I saw in the video too. So.
Oh yeah, we looked for that forever. Anyway, but let's
I was going to say, quickly before I finish, I did see on your video, Josh, that you and Jonah were looking for that cache, and it had been quite some years since Jonah, like, traveled with you for a cache. And the last time that he traveled with you for a cache was a DNF also.
I know.
So maybe it's not you. Maybe it's Jonah.
Yeah. Maybe he's cursed. Maybe he's geo-cursed. Who knows?
Exactly.
All right, Craig, I think it is time now to bring in our good friend, Annie Love. Annie, how are you?
Hi, I'm happy to be here today. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing great. We're so excited to talk to you for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. But the first thing everyone needs to know, first of all, Annie, you have not been on this podcast before. I'm not sure if you've listened to it, but we are not a geocaching podcast.
Right. so I can't talk about my favorite hobby. Just kidding.
But we talk about geocaching a lot because we are a podcast that is guided by geolocation games.
Right.
And you, for those that don't know who you are, you actually work at geocaching.com.
I do. And I think actually it might be today or Monday is my 17th anniversary at the company. So
I've been there for a while. Wow, 70, because geocaching itself, it started in 2020, if those people don't know.
Right.
So it's 23 years old. So you were there like 5 years after it started.
Yeah. So I started playing the game in 2004, and then I begged for my job in 2007. So got lucky. Yeah.
And she hasn't looked back since yet, Josh. That's a great thing.
That's for sure. So you are an early adopter. Yeah. You work for the company. You've been there for 17 years. Remind me, what is your role at the company?
It's changed a lot over the years. I started at the very first front desk that we had, welcoming people in, answering emails from the community, answering phone calls. And then I've sort of meandered through some merchandise, the trackables program, API program, and now I'm managing our business development team. So, but I still manage the trackables program, still manage the API program. So if you're using API partners, I'm working with those folks. And so a little bit of everything.
And Josh, I hear a rumor as well on the rumor mill that Annie is still one of those avid geocachers and lovers of the actual game, that she still finds caches almost on a daily basis.
Oh, she is a diehard geocacher.
Yes.
And as a part of your job, you get to visit several countries. Well, you do it for your job and for your your personal life.
Yeah.
I'm really curious. This is a travel podcast. It is about the United States. So we're going to get to our topic today that we believe you're an expert about. So that's why you're here. But how many countries, Annie, have you visited?
So I think according to geocaching.com, I've been to 38. But I like to add, you know, they lump UK together and stuff like that. So I my count is more at 42. So, you know. The answer to life, the universe, and everything.
So did you if that's the case, Annie, did you actually travel then before you started geocaching?
I've always had an affinity for travel. I lived abroad in New Zealand for 6 months. Unfortunately, right before I took up the game, it would have really been a useful tool to discover New Zealand when I was living there. But yeah, I've always loved travel, and you know, most of my travel is personally funded. I do get to travel for work, usually about once or twice a year. So like last year I went to Denmark, this year I'm going to Australia. So it's really a fantastic opportunity to get to meet geocachers from around the world and get to, you know, scratch that itch on my travel obsession. So
I have had friends of mine from Australia reach out to me and ask me, you know, saying about yourself and who you're going with. You're going with geocaches as well.
Geocaches.
Yeah. So you two are going to Australia for next
year. She's actually going with
this year.
She's going with Jesse, JT Coffee. So they're going to the League Day Jesse. Event.
Oh, yeah. That's and what I'm, it is. Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
yes, I'm going to the one that's in Canberra. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. You can correct me.
Yeah, you are. Okay, good. You're so Australian.
I've been working on some words for down there because I'm planning to hike to the top of Mount Kosciuszko. So
yes.
So excited that's to get the highest point in Australia while I'm down there. So
yeah. One question I've got for you, that's the case as well. Again, if people don't know, Annie, you love to your footwear. Is we call them thongs. You call them, what do you call them here? Flip-flops.
The flip-flops here. I actually started calling them thongs when I was a kid. That was what they were known in North Idaho. In New Zealand, they're jandals, and when I visit Hawaii, they're slippas. So, I don't care what they're called. I'll wear them.
Exactly. But are you going to actually do this hike at Mount Kosciuszko wearing your thongs?
I actually talked to a geocaching friend in Australia last week, and she was like, you shouldn't wear your thongs for the hike. And I was like, well, I might have them packed with me just in case.
Yes. You got to have the photo at the very top with your thongs on as well. So, yeah.
Of course. And good with time my Sounders to scarf. Too, so.
So geocachers know this. As a part of geocaching, you can collect souvenirs, which is like digital badges for your profile.
Right.
I'm a souvenir hound. I love them. I think they're just fun.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Annie, where are you at in your souvenir count?
Oh gosh. I'd have to look at my phone. Let me see. That's right here. It's
you don't know the number right off the top of your head? I know my number.
Josh just wants to brag. That's all this is.
Okay,
this
is
a humble brag.
I think I've got Josh bragging. Beat.
So. Yes, she's got me beat for sure.
Yeah. No, I would say the one stat that I do know about my souvenirs is that I'm number two in the state of Washington, and Gear Guru, who I work with, is number one. So I just checked. I have 411 souvenirs. So, and that should change next weekend when I go to the Yuma Mega. So
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm at 350, nice. Which is actually
this is really good.
Pretty high.
Yeah, it's really high.
I think I'm like six in Minnesota.
Awesome.
So.
That's cool. I
don't know.
You can take that number one spot at some point.
Yes. Well, maybe someday. So let's get to the US because you've traveled throughout the US as well. I'm really curious, Annie, what is your favorite U.S. city and why?
I was thinking about this for a bit. I've ever since I've been to New York City, it's hard to not say New York City, but I'm actually headed before the Yuma Mega. I'm flying into San Diego, and that's typically been my favorite city in the country for as long as I've, you know, started first time I went there. So San Diego, to me, it's that you got the beach, you have the green, you have mountains, you have a lot to do, very fun, you know, downtown, lots of cool places to visit. You know, you can get over over into the mountains, across to the desert pretty quickly. I always feel at home when I'm in San Diego. So, and I don't know if it's because I like wearing flip-flops, and I can probably wear them all year round.
Everyone wears them over there.
Yeah.
You'd be one of the locals over there.
Right, so. Exactly. So, but yeah, ever since I've kind of discovered New York too, I understand the love of that city. So I'm always looking for a chance to get back there and discover.
And New York's a very hustle and bustle city too.
It is.
You've got to really have your wits about you. Yep. You've got to be on the ball, ready to go too.
Yeah. So
what about the smaller cities or towns? That's the case, then. Do you have any particular smaller city or town?
I mean, you know, for geocaching, I love going to Rome, Georgia for going caching. Yeah. That's a fantastic town. You know, just you have a great time walking around the downtown, discovering it through the game, and, you know, grabbing beers with fellow geocachers. But I can't help but go back to my own small town that I grew up in, of Sandpoint, Idaho. So I go back there regularly because my family still lives there. It's got a big lake. It's got a big ski hill where I can go snowboarding. Fantastic hiking. Some of the most beautiful country you could imagine. And, you know, it's got my favorite pizza place in the world. There's just all these things that, you know, every time I'm home, it feels good to be home. I don't know that I'll live there again, but I love visiting. So.
There you go, Josh. She said favorite pizza place, and yet she's been to New York City, just saying.
Exactly. Yeah, you heard that right. I've been to Italy, too.
Has she done the Seneca County pizza trail?
No, but it's on my list to do. It is on my list to do.
There you go. And have you had a pizza in New Jersey? I'll just say, because I reckon Jersey pizza is actually better than New York City.
I actually haven't had a pizza in New Jersey. I've just flown into the airport there.
Don't Newark Airport. Don't even think about New Jersey. Anything like Newark. Newark's airport.
Get on the fast track to New York and have the food there.
You got to go south. Once you go south in New Jersey, you then realize why it becomes a garden state.
Right.
Anyway, I'm promoting Jersey here.
Right. So. Yeah.
Well, today on the podcast, we're not talking about a country.
Nope.
We're not talking about a state. We're not talking about a city. We're not even talking about a town, Craig.
No, I know.
But we're talking. We're narrowing in. We're talking about a neighborhood.
Well, Josh, let's ask Annie herself. She's from here, and this is the reason we're talking to her. Yeah. Annie, would you call it a neighborhood?
I would call it the center of the universe. So, yes. that's I didn't give it that name. I'm not being, hey, it's the best place in the world because I work there and live nearby. No, it's just known as the center of the universe. So,
and we're talking about Fremont in Seattle.
Yep. Fremont neighborhood of Seattle. So it's just north of the downtown area, kind of on the northwest ledge of Lake Union. So, but it is quirky. It is fun. It's fantastic food. Just a little bit of everything. So,
is it Fremont? Is that where the HQ is as well?
Yep, that's where geocaching HQ is.
Yeah, I was just confirming that's where HQ is. So those people who are geocachers out there who go, well, Fremont, where's Fremont? Yeah, headquarters.
Right.
If you've been to headquarters, you've been to Fremont. So makes sense then. It makes sense. Because I did the geo tour as well, the HQ geo tour, and that takes you around the whole area. That's very interesting. So
The geo tour is a lot of fun. I helped with some other HQ lackeys to put that together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it's been really cool to see how well received it's been. Well,
yeah, I think my favorite points, it might be one of the most popular, if not the number one geo tour in the world. Is that right?
Favorite point wise for sure. So it's the caches are cool. I've certainly, found some caches around the world that can top, what we did, but just the fact that you're in this neighborhood where you're discovering cool thing after cool thing, you walk around a corner and you're like, what? There's a rocket on the wall there, so it's just one of those things where it's a little surprise after surprise. And, people are kind of in their geocaching element. They're excited to be at HQ getting to discover the HQ cache and meet some lackeys. And so, you're already in this moment of like happiness, and then you see these cool things along the way, and it's hard not to be like, yep, that's favorite point worthy for sure.
And one of the cool locations I thought when I first visited, because I did it in 2018 on my trip across the US before I even had a chance to move here. And it was the Fremont Troll under the bridge.
Yeah, the troll is awesome. That's one of the first things. So when I first moved to Seattle in, 2004, my roommate at the time, my cousin, took me on a tour around the city. And that was one of the places that he drove past. He's like, you got to see this, you know, and I was just like blown away, like just how big the troll is. You know, you find the cute little gnome sized trolls under bridges now and then for fun. But this is impressive. I mean, it's got a whole VW bug in its hand. Yeah. So just to give you an idea for scale. So yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. So the cool thing about it is that you also don't know when it's going to be dressed up sometimes. So, you know, like I think when the Sounders were going to the MLS Cup, there was a big Sounders scarf on it, you know, for a day. And I've seen big funky 80s glasses on the troll. And it's just, you think of what people have to do to make that, you know, for something that size and just the creativity that goes along with it. It's fun for sure.
Yeah. It's certainly probably one of the most next to the gum wall and the tower and the Ferris wheel that goes over the lake. It's probably one of the must-see destinations.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's also one of the hidden ones. You know, it's like you kind of have to know about it, or you need to know a local that'll take you there. It'll probably be in some guidebooks, and obviously it's on some tour bus routes, but yeah, it's not a neighborhood that people would, you know, they're going to spend their time at the Seattle Center. They're going to take the ferry somewhere. They're going to focus more on the downtown area of Seattle. But it's, you know, you get out into the little neighborhoods like Fremont, and that's where you find the gems. So
now I just watched a YouTube video because a lot of the Fremont district was in the movie, I think from the early 2000s, maybe 90s, of 10 Things I Hate About You. And and there's a scene where they are actually at the troll. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct. And it's really cool watching that movie, especially after I moved here. It was like, hey, there's Gasworks. Hey, there's the troll. Hey, there's Harry Park up on Queen Anne. And, you know, it was most of the time when movies are set in Seattle, they're filmed up in Vancouver, British Columbia. And so to be able to not just have that one pan scene over the... you know, showing the Space Needle, but to actually see the neighborhoods. And, you know, they filmed in local bars in Fremont. The Buckaroo Tavern was the bar scene, and that's just up the street. It's now I think a breakfast place or a French place. When I first moved here, that was still a tavern, so I could go get a drink there and recreate a moment from the movie. So.
Well, when I did, as I said before, when I went across and I was doing the geo tour, et cetera, as well, Josh, I don't think I've ever told you this, but this at a breweries in Fremont is where my love of IPAs come from. There you go.
Nice. Not so
I was, it's funny. It's funny because when I first visited HQ, it was the second time I visited HQ. It was the 2013. And it was the first time, I believe, you can tell me if I'm wrong, Annie, that I completed in a lab cache. Well, I know that was true for me.
Yep.
And they had a lab cache at each of the breweries in town. And I know they were experimenting with lab caches early on.
Yeah, that was that original stages where they were web-based. And, you know, if you were there for the block party, it was a little taster glass. And you get a free little sample at each of the participating breweries. And so Fremont Brewery was one of those. And I actually helped co-host an event there where we had probably close to 1,000 people coming into Fremont Brewery, a line out the door, people waiting for their little taster glasses. And it was a lot of fun, you know, and it's fun to show off, you know, the places that I love to go, you know, to geocaching friends from around the world. So
it's quite funny because Josh, we enjoy a beer or two, like, you know, Josh, myself, our other good friend Rob as well, and we all have different flavors, different types. I'm an IPA. Josh is like a light lager type. Really, the lighter the better.
Yeah.
And then Rob does the sour.
Oh, nice.
You, I've seen you. You got a love of beer as well, because I follow you on Untapped. The app Untapped. So, yeah. Oh yeah, I right. see you on Untapped.
You know what
and
I mean?
I think, and I think to myself, I think, wow, this woman, she's like a fish. She loves a good drink. Like, you know.
Yeah.
What's your favorite type of beer that you normally have, or you
yeah, go to? Definitely an IPA. So I went through the progression of beer, but I started in the weird, you know, it wasn't the college, the light beer, you know, the cheapest beer possible. I had a job at a pizza place, cause I love pizza mm-hmm. at Boise State or near Boise State. And they had some of the best Belgian beers on tap, which I didn't really know beer at the time, but I got a free beer with every shift. You know, at the end of the shift, you could sit down and have a beer. And so of course, you know, I kind of came in as a beer snob right off out of the gate. And so anyway, it was interesting moving to Seattle, because, you know, there's not Belgians on tap everywhere. There's a few great places that have that, including one in Fremont. But yeah, there's I sort of got into the amber, you know, that was my intro to Seattle beer, and then kind of progressed the way to the IPA. And it's I still love a, you know, bourbon barrel aged stout, or, you know, I love sours, especially on a mm-hmm. warm summer day. That's really refreshing. When I've walked a Camino, I love the Pilsners, you know, it's all about that rehydration kind of beer. So, yeah, the crisp me. Light, you know, and refreshing. So, but yeah, it, you know, if I'm going to have a beer at Fremont, it's probably going to be an IPA. So,
yes, yes.
Well, we need to go back to the talking a little bit about the public arts, because that's maybe one of my favorite things about the Fremont neighborhood. But we're on the beer train.
Right.
So let's continue to talk the beer train.
Okay.
Fremont Brewing. Yep. That's probably the last brewery I went to in. Well, that's maybe not true. But anyway, a big, huge patio outside. No surprise that you can fit maybe thousands of people there.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah. It's pretty big. But have you ever been, I don't think I've been here. This mm-hmm. this is fun. Attaball Arcade Bar.
Oh, I've been there. Yeah. It's fun. You definitely need to come the next time you're back.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been there a few times. You know, some Friday night happy hours with lackeys, or just, you know, friends said, hey, let's meet up for happy hour and go there. And it's kind of fun. Cause yeah, you can play the arcade games, or you can, you know, sit at a booth. It's a funky place. Like, it's just a cool place. And you can, yeah, it's fun to play those games. I'm terrible at them, but it's fun to try. So
I'm always up for a nice retro arcade game.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other place was that I haven't been either is the Backdoor Speakeasy. Have mm-hmm. you been there?
Yep. Yeah. So I've been to the Roxy's Backdoor. I think they still call it that. But anyway, it's you want kind of a classic cocktail. That's a really great place to go. And it, you just walk back in there and it feels like you're in a different era. You know, you're, it is that speakeasy, but you know, it's not necessarily the secret door or anything like that, but it definitely has that feel. And yeah, it's, really great drinks there too. So
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was looking up the motto of the Fremont neighborhood mm-hmm. and you're right. It is the center of the,
yep.
of the universe,
yep.
but the motto, I don't know, I assume you know this, maybe you don't, Libertas Quercus,
yep.
which yep. means freedom to be peculiar, freedom to be peculiar.
Yep.
And as you walk through the neighborhood, and again, the Geo Tour is such an amazing way to experience it, because mm-hmm. you really walk by everything that you need to see.
Right.
But there is so much public art.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like to bring up some of these, because some of these I do remember, but some of them I don't remember. But yep. a lot of statues and different things. Yep. Rapunzel, what is Rapunzel and where is she?
So she's on the Fremont Bridge.
Oh, okay.
You know, if I'm walking outside the office, I can see her. Her hair's going down. She's really just a neon, you know, piece of art. So the neon light, and okay. then yeah, but she's letting her hair down too. You know, as the story goes, climb up her hair yes. up into the tower. So, yeah, so that's neat, you know, cause the Fremont Bridge is really cool looking anyway. It's, yeah. you know, vibrant blue and orange colors, and it's one of the bridges that goes up for the boats to go through. And yes. so, you know, sometimes if you're driving through the neighborhood, you're, oh, the bridge is up. Okay. Well, you know, it's going to be a a 5 to 10 minute delay before you get going again. But yeah, then there's just that quirkiness of all of a sudden you look at one part of it and there's Rapunzel. And so, I know at first I was like, what, why is that up there? I don't know. And so, yeah, it was after I lived here a little bit longer, someone's like, that's Rapunzel. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. So, yeah.
And I see in your show notes as well that you've written, there is actually a Center of the Universe signpost as well.
Yep. Yeah. So, across the Fremont Bridge, you know, if you're walking or cycling across, or as I do sometimes, taking one of those scooters that you can rent around the city, you can see this sign that's "Welcome to the Center of the Universe." So, I want to say that it's probably gone missing a few times. People wanting to keep that sign, but yeah, so it's kind of cool, and yeah, it's one of those things where I don't know. You know, I could probably read up on the history of the funkiness of Fremont, but I don't know what started it all, if it was just more artists living in that neighborhood originally or what, but even through its transformation, it still kept all that quirkiness, which is really fantastic. Cause you know, a lot of times you get the new condo building in there and, you know, in cities it sort of changes the vibe, but it really hasn't changed the vibe that much. And, you know, we have the Fremont Solstice Parade each year, which is definitely worth taking in if you're ever here around Solstice weekend. Yeah, it's I took my parents to it, and you never saw the biggest grins on their faces when a whole bunch of naked cyclists were, you know, with painted bodies were going through the parade. It's like, yeah, we're going to go to a parade. It'll be cool. Yeah. It's a little funky. And then all of a sudden these cyclists come through and you've got the Mario Brothers paint. You've got a little bit of everything. Former presidents painted. You've got just every video game character you can imagine or whatever. And coming through on the bikes and yeah. And then, you know, you've got these weird floats, like the Flying Spaghetti Monster is in that parade every year. There's marching bands from schools in Canada that show up sometimes and you're just like, wow, okay, this is really random.
So. Is that at both solstices?
No, it's just at the summer solstice. Summer solstice. Yeah. Always hard to
say. Might be a little chilly to bike naked in the
and knowing Seattle in June, it's still pretty chilly sometimes. So yeah, it would be. And then those hot days with paint on a bike, you're sort of like, I've never done it. You probably won't find me on one of those bikes, but I definitely we've got a nice view from the office, so it's fun to watch from there.
Well, to be naked as well, Annie, you'd actually have to take off your flip flops. So
it's true. I couldn't do that.
You couldn't ride barefoot. That's the reason why. We're going to stick to that. That's the reason why. Yeah. So. But Josh, we've got the Fremont Rocket, the Fremont Dinosaur.
You mentioned that before. Do you know what, other than the fact that there's just a big rocket outside of a building, do you know anything else about it?
Why it's I know I read the plaque about it one time, and I think it is either a model or an actual old rocket from. You know, I'm not sure what era, but a long time ago. And the cool thing is it's lit up on the side at night. I actually stopped and took a picture of it the other night because it was just like, oh yeah, it looks really cool being lit up at night. But yeah, it's just on the corner of a building. And then, you know, another building around the corner or across the street from that has Saturn on top. Just a big, like huge Saturn, which I got lucky enough to be able to take some pictures on top, some group photos with the Saturn in the background. And that was pretty cool to be up on top of that building in Fremont. And, you know, but I don't know why they did that. They just put a planet up there. So,
if I recall correctly, I think that geocache on the GeoTour is a multi-cache. So I think there's some information on the wall and then it takes you somewhere else.
So, yeah. So
I do recall it had to do something with some sort of astronaut or something.
And I think that one, you know, you get to go to some interesting stages through that multi-cache. I don't want to give it all away. We can talk about those things, but it's just kind of a really fun tour of downtown Fremont and getting to highlight some of those funky things that you're like, I might have missed that, you know, I might not have looked up and seen that there was a rocket on the side of the wall, although it's hard to miss.
Speaking of funky things that you don't see every day, when you walk down by the bike path near the water, there is some hedges. And the hedges are in the shape of dinosaurs.
Yep.
Is that right?
They are. And I think they're pretty close to accurate size for the dinosaurs that they are. They're huge, huge hedges. And I don't even know what it takes to maintain that. I do know they are kind of a wire, and then they've grown ivy around them. In a way so that it fills in, and they're just, you know, there's like a mom and a baby dinosaur there. And it's, I go on that walk on the Burke Gilman, which is the path along the canal, all the time. I pass them, and it just never ceases to amaze me to look up and be like, oh, those dinosaurs are really cool. You know,
it's so fun.
Yeah.
This neighborhood is so fun.
Yeah.
They'd have to be a carnivorous dinosaurs, because they wouldn't be able to eat each other. Just
saying. Exactly. Yeah. No, they definitely look like the grass eaters. I don't know. So, yeah.
The Fremont Troll. Yeah. We've talked about it already. Mm-hmm. Great geocache there, by the way. Course, yeah. Not going to give it away, but great geocache. I did discover that the troll's birthday is actually Halloween.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And have you been down there at Halloween?
I think they dress the troll up. I don't know if there's anything else that happens, but yeah, I've definitely been by there, you know, Halloween time, and
imagine the size of the birthday cake they'd have to produce for the troll. Yeah. And it'd feed like 500 people the size of the birthday cake.
Yeah. the trolls. Yeah, it's cool. It's I love walking up the hill when you're about a block away and you just kind of hit this crest, and then all of a sudden you see the troll at the top of the road. Jeez. And I can't even imagine, like, if you were a first timer in Seattle and didn't know that that was there, you drive up that hill, you're probably like, what is this? You know, I'm going to drive right into a troll. So
cool.
Yeah.
So you're a world traveler. Mm-hmm. In my travels, I've noticed that there are pieces of the Berlin Wall all over the world.
Yep.
And there's a piece of the Berlin Wall in Fremont. Yep. Is that right?
There is right across the street from the office. There used to kind of be a history museum, and it was included just on the outside of that history museum there. Progress, whatever, buildings get torn down, whatever. The museum went away, but luckily they were able to just move that piece of the Berlin Wall a little bit out. So you can go up, you can touch it, you can take a picture with it. It's just kind of one of those good reminders too, you know, like of things past. And but it's kind of neat. And I've seen a few pieces around, you know, the country, including one in North Idaho, not too far from my hometown. So someone who lives out there actually brought a piece over in front of their property, and it's actually a virtual cache in North Idaho. So you
imagine getting that through customs, Josh.
I know.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You and your TSA pre-check. Yeah, like, you know, don't check my
That's bag. Under the 50-pound mark on the suitcase, right?
So. One of the most fascinating pieces of the Berlin Wall that I've seen, I don't know if you've been there, Annie, but it was in Seoul, Korea.
Okay, yeah.
And I walked up there with a bunch of South Korean people, and they said, this is really meaningful to us because this says that we hope someday that Korea will be unified and we will be back together with our brothers and sisters on the north side, which was just really fascinating.
Yeah, to have such a special
that German history impact Korean history.
Yep.
It really stuck out in my mind. It was fascinating.
Yeah, I didn't make it. I had basically 3 hours in Seoul, so I didn't make it everywhere. But yeah, that sounds like a fascinating place to visit. And yeah, just those reminders are really helpful of history. And hopefully they inspire people to learn a little bit more, you know, because it's, I remember when the wall came down and, you know, younger generations weren't alive then. And so it's just to kind of learn about that stuff. And, you know, and it's been an interesting twist in Fremont to have some of those, you know, historical relics there, you know, and sort of made into, hey, this is a place of art, but it's cool because it's almost like a museum, but outdoors. You know, you don't have to pay an entry fee. You just walk around, and you know, it's just who knows what you're going to discover and what you're going to learn. Some of it's just going to make you laugh, smile, or, you know, be like, what? And then and then some of it'll make you, pause and think a little bit more. So,
and speaking of historical landmarks, when I saw this, I was like, I don't get it. What the heck? Why is that here?
I Craig, I know what you're talking about.
Craig, tell him what I'm talking about.
The statue of Lenin.
Yeah. Yes, the statue of there's a statue of Lenin.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't.
It's big.
It's big. It's a big statue. I think it was for sale a long time ago, and
it still is for sale.
Oh, is it still for sale? Okay.
That's what my research. You could buy it for $230,000.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, there you go. But yeah, I think it. I don't remember the history, but it was brought over to Fremont and. Again, I'm thinking it's that mix between the funky, like, randomness and then also, hey, you know, stop and think and, you know, learn the history type of thing. But yeah, I was kind of baffled the first time I saw it, too. And now it's just, hey, it's part of the neighborhood. So it's you know. Yeah. And it's lit up at Christmas time.
It's fascinating because. In my research, because I was just so curious about it. Mm-hmm. It's controversial, of course. There's people that have wanted it to be taken down. His hands are painted red.
Yep.
For like the blood on his hands. Mm-hmm. You're right. They do decorate it in a silly way. That's almost kind of like, it's almost like mocking him.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Yeah.
And then others say that it's there is like, because it's on U.S. soil, it's like it's a victory over communism. Sort of thing. So it's just fascinating how a piece of artwork can mean so many maybe different things to so many different people.
For sure. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that people are like, why do you have that here? Well, good question. You know, so why do we have all the other stuff we have in Fremont? No, that's just the. I think that's the beauty of art. You know, like I said, it's a chance to chuckle or a chance to pause and think and, you know, whatever. So it's going to move people in different ways. So
totally.
And then Josh, we have I'm not going to say this right. So you say it, Josh. I can't say this right. I can't pronounce it properly with my Australian accent.
Siri Chamoy statue.
Mm-hmm. Is Siri Chamoy? Yep. Is it Siri?
Yep.
Said Siri instead of the Siri Chamoy, so that's why you called Siri. So.
Your phone can tell you all you need to know about the statue.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's another thing I walk past pretty regularly. I'll take a walk break most days and walk along the Burke Gilman, and you know, kind of it's in a really neat location because you look up at the very iconic Aurora Bridge above and out over the lake. And, you know, the people that just cherish that statue, they'll bring fresh flower petals and things like that and decorate it. So it's a cool thing to come by and just, you know, there's a brightness to it. And again, stop and reflection time, you know, so in a beautiful location.
So I would guess, I haven't looked, but I would guess not only is the GeoTour there, but speaking of location-based games, I'm guessing a lot of these or most of all these spots are Adventure Lab locations as well.
Yep, they are. So some of them HQ has worked on. So I know when we were having our big celebration, we wanted to provide a lot of fun for geocachers and show off, you know, different parts of Seattle and specifically our neighborhood because we knew a lot of people would be coming to visit. The Fremont Chamber of Commerce actually has an adventure that highlights some of the locations. And so that's one I've been working on recently. You know, and it's cool because I think the one left I have is up at the Troll. So I'll be going back to the Troll here pretty soon.
So many reasons to go to the Troll.
Yes, exactly. And so that's kind of a nice way to read about some of the stuff through those adventure labs, too, if you can't find a placard nearby that explains what's happening and why.
I think that's the only downfall, Josh, that I have to say in regards to like adventure labs, etc., is that you have to switching back and forth and back and forth from the, because you just said before that there's, you know, Adventure Lab point at the Troll, but then there's also physical cache at the Troll, and then there's, you know, there's so many different things, Josh. We have all these apps open all the time.
Yep.
The way around that, I was just doing with Rob, I was just doing the Adventure Lab at Disney Springs, and there were like three there, I believe.
Yeah.
And I said, Rob, you open up this one. I'll open up the other one.
Right.
You tell me if we get to a spot, and I'll tell you if we get spot.
Well, there is that new feature on the Adventure Lab app where you can see the dots for the other locations of labs nearby. So if you're not in that adventure, so that's kind of fun to use and to make sure you don't miss something. So
or as well, if we'll say this, and not sponsored, but Cashly. Yep. What a great geocaching Cashly app.
I use Cashly a lot for
and they use the same thing. Like they have all the points on Cashly app as well.
Yep.
But again, in saying that, the only other thing I find is that some Adventure Lab places or hiders, if want of a better word, they don't really talk to each other. And sometimes you can get two, maybe even three points at the same point from three different Adventure Labs. You're like, hang on, I got rid of that one. Oh, no, it's a different one. So that's only other side of it, I think, personally.
Yeah. You know, and that's part of it is there's not a review process. So there's not a volunteer that's checking the location. And, you know, if you place a cache in the location, obviously that volunteer is going to make sure that there's not another one unless it's a different type of cache that can be nearby, like a virtual or whatever. But that's the one thing. There have been some adventures where someone worked, for days or weeks on building it, and then they push it live, and someone else pushed a very similar one live the day before, and just like, what do you do? You don't want to, don't want to take down that. But I always look at it as it's a good way to, for me as the cacher, to go back, if a new adventure pops up in the same location, I can go back. Maybe they have different information to share. They're all worth it to me.
I say more the merrier.
Yeah.
And Annie, we've talked about Adventure Labs so often on this podcast because they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're anywhere such a you go perfect that way to travel.
Exactly. Anywhere that you go somewhere that's interesting, there might not be a space there where a geocache can be hidden, but surely there's something there that could be shared.
Yeah.
History.
Really cool murals.
Story, whatever.
Statues, all types of things. So.
And one other thing in regards to Adventure Labs, and that is you're not actually physically looking for an item like container. Mm-hmm. So you're in a crowded area, I know Josh doesn't care because I've seen him literally crawl under this guy's car when the guy was still sitting in the car
like at a
Panera Bread. But anyway, that's another story.
And he didn't care.
And he didn't care. I thought, Josh, hang on, this guy, I mean, we're in America here. This guy might be, armed, but anyway.
Right.
But no, I don't, thank goodness he didn't care. But for me and other friends of mine who don't like, looking suspicious, for instance, Adventure Labs are one of those types where you can just be a tourist. You're looking at a mural, you're looking at a plaque, and you're looking for something, and you're on your phone, so it looks like you're a normal tourist. So
taking pictures, whatever. Talking to a friend recently who gets out on a lot of walks, and it's like, well, yeah, you should geocache more. And he's like, I don't like going back into the bushes and stuff and getting, the nature all over me. I was like, well, try Adventure Lab then, because you're probably going to stay on the path and just look at a sign when you play that game. So,
I do have friends of mine who are not geocachers, but do Adventure Labs for that reason. Mm-hmm. You catered all aspects.
Yeah. The really great factor that didn't even occur to me early on, but was just the accessibility. And so it opens up geocaching and discovering cool places for people who can't necessarily go out on a hiking trail or, down to sidewalks and whatnot. So it really expands the game and the adventures you can have. So
it expands the game as well in regards to, I've done one in Sydney in Australia, and you'll probably do it, or you should do it too.
I'll probably do it when I'm down
Calypso,
there.
Calypso, his name is Calypso. He's a great guy. But he's done the same thing what HQ did originally, and he's done like a beer tour all the local, taverns all around Circular Quay that go underneath the Harbour Bridge. So, it's really
cool.
You have to go into the tavern. You have to look at a particular photo and get names. So, but it's, you obviously don't have to purchase anything. But, why not? You're there. Why not have a beverage or two,
Sometimes you need to sit down and have a break for a beer.
Exactly.
While you're traveling.
And we all know you can't actually do that sort of style of things with normal geocaching because it can't be, you know, promote a business of sorts. So yeah, but this way you can, which is really cool. Yeah. Right.
Here's another reason I love Adventure Labs, because I don't know if you saw my social media this week, but there's a team of brothers that create gigantic snow sculptures.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And it can't be a virtual.
Right.
Because it melts. Can't, it's on private property. So not it, a physical it's a little cap. Bit a little bit weird for physical.
Right.
And again, it melts.
Right.
You know. But I have an Adventure Lab credit that I have 5 stages, and each year I can add it.
Yeah.
So it's only one when they go to it, it's only currently one stage. Okay, but I was really surprised. I was really surprised to see that even people that completed it when they did it last time, I just deleted that one and I made a new location, and then they were able to get another find for this year's sculpture.
Yeah.
I was really it was the perfect tool for something like that.
Right. And those sculptures were awesome. I love your pictures that you were posting.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're amazing. Well, we've really, went down the Adventure Lab route, but we got Annie here.
Why not?
She works at the place that makes them.
Yeah. Actually, we did a whole community episode. Makes them. Come on. Let's be real.
True.
Yes, yes.
We did an episode about Carl's, which is a strawberry amusement park in Germany has used Adventure Labs throughout their whole park.
Yeah.
And we actually talked to them, and they just really love, they love the product, Adventure Labs, and they've done some really cool, unique things about that. So listen to that episode if you haven't, if you want to learn more about Adventure Labs. Mm-hmm. All right. Craig.
Yes.
We don't talk about shopping a lot on this podcast.
Why would we, Josh? We don't really shop. I shop for me, but you know.
Well, we need to talk about it here because there's lots of quirky, quirky shops in the Fremont district.
Like what?
Well, first of all, this is sort of a food thing, kind of a food and a shop. It's a chocolate factory.
Right.
You have a chocolate factory, Willy Wonka and everything. We do.
Unfortunately, though, it just got bought out. And so, we're not going to be smelling the amazing chocolate because it would just waft down to our office certain days. And but Theo Chocolate, really fantastic chocolate, just all different flavors. You can find it I've even found it in stores in Minneapolis, so I know it gets around. But that was kind of one of the claim to fame. So people could go do a tour of the chocolate factory. So that'll be a one sad thing. I don't know if they've officially closed yet, but it's going to happen. So I'm hoping that it's such a cool building. It's an old brick building. Mm. I'm hoping
a brewery
that it will end up being something cool, you know, maybe a new chocolate factory. I don't know.
Or a new brewery, I dare say. Like
new brewery is most likely.
They're popping up left, right. Yeah. Especially the old brick buildings.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost think it used to be a brewery back in the day, but I could be wrong on that. So go look on the history, but.
Well, that's really sad because
Craig
knows how sad I am when I go to a location hoping that there's a tour and there isn't a tour.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Remember, Craig?
Oh, here we go.
We were in Ohio and I saw the duct tape factory.
You got to talk about the duct tape factory.
We walked in and they haven't had tours since COVID.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
And come on, duct tape. Yeah. Man, that's like geocachers.
So all Josh could do was literally stare with his mouth open and saliva coming out of his mouth.
Oh,
and they had a duct tape dispensary sort of vending machine.
Vending machine.
Oh.
So he's there.
It's like
he's
you
there,
can like, buy any kind all of duct tape you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's
over 50 different kinds in this vending machine. And Josh is there going, oh, but look, I'm doing like a semi-tour now.
<You're> right. Yeah, here's all the different flavors of duct tape.
So, Annie, are there any other fun stores that you like to visit in the neighborhood?
Yeah, one was actually, I learned recently, was a film location from 10 Things I Hate About You, but it was a bookstore back in the day. But it is now Portage Bay Goods. And it is just sort of a cutesy local shop that has, you know, some iconic Seattle stuff, like some Seattle paintings, magnets, whatever. So if you're touring around and don't want that airport style magnet, you want something that's a little funkier and more, I don't know, just more like, Fremont, then that would be a good place to go. They also have nice little gifts and card section and everything like that. And so that's usually if I have someone's birthday coming up, I'll do a check in there to see if there's anything that can help accessorize a gift or whatever. But yeah, that's fun. There's, you know, some vintage shops. I think there's, it's the Vintage Mall. So I bought some cowboy boots from there back in the day when I was going to be a cowgirl for Halloween, and still have the cowboy boots today. yeah. So it's, you don't know what kind of gems you're going to find there too. And
Tell me, just
a little bit of everything in Fremont.
Tell me these cowboy boots, Annie. have you cut them out like
they're not flip flops?
They're not. Oh,
no. I saw someone tagged me in a photo of those cowboy flip flops one time, and I was like, "Oh no, that's not ever happening."
And this is,
I might be from Idaho, but
and this is not, where you know you're like okay, I really do have a brand now where I'm getting tagged in people
right,
in
exactly.
random flip flop shoes.
It happens all the time. Yeah, actually, my aunt got me this really cool. It's a repurposed flip-flop animals. So they're basically like, instead of a stuffed animal, it's the rubber from flip-flops that, you know, washed up on beaches. And, you know, and so it's kind of cool because it's like, oh, they found a fun new use, you know, for these dead flip-flops. So anyway.
Josh, the Fremont Library we're going to talk about now as well.
I've
been there
a couple times.
Yeah. It's a cool
because
building.
It's a geocache inside of it.
Yeah. It's a multi, I think.
Yep.
But it's just adorable.
It's adorable.
It's so cute.
Like it's not really a Seattle, you know, type of architecture. It's just really unique. And I think that's what makes it fun. It doesn't stand out like it shouldn't be there, but it's just a really cool building and it's cute. And obviously the geocache inside is fantastic. So, you know, can't go wrong with that. You get a smiley for visiting a cool place.
That's right. Yeah.
You don't want to skip it. You know, people, they would, you know, if they're visiting, like, that's a library.
Right.
It's adorable.
Yeah. It's adorable. So definitely worth it. And it's one of those streets that I don't make it on very often. So when I get up there and walk past it out the front side of it, I'm just like, oh yeah, this is super cute. And there's a really neat park right next to it. That's really funky. And sometimes people will host geocaching events at that park. And, you know, so that's always a good reminder for me to be like, oh yeah, library is cool. Like, gotta go by there more
often. It's fairly close to the Troll. Is that right?
It's actually kind of halfway between us and the Troll. So
that's what I thought.
Yep.
And then, Gasworks Park, which is also in 10 Things I Hate About You. I watched a clip of them playing like some sort of like
laser
paint splat
game.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that.
Paintball?
Yes.
Kind of paintball. Yeah.
Paintball?
Yeah. Yeah.
But what is this? What is this place? It's an old, kind of a lost place.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of got the relics of an old gasworks, you know, and so don't drink the water out in the lake at Gasworks Park because there's probably still some chemicals coming up from the factory back in the day. But the cool thing is they fenced off some of the structures, just because it'd be dangerous for people to go around. But they still have they've rusted out and just have this iconic look to them. But then there's a cool covered building that has a lot of the relics from the Gasworks factory, whatever it was, back in the day. And they've painted them kind of in bright, happy colors. And then there's a playground right next to that. But then it's also got this hill that has a sundial up on top of it. And it's just of the iconic views of Seattle. And, you know, like it's iconic both being there, but then also if you're out on the lake, you look up and you see people standing up on top of the hill. I think they call it Kite Hill because people will often fly kites up there. You get some good wind. But yeah, you can just watch the boats go by. You see the rowers from UW going by and they're training. You see you see the hot tub boats out on the lake where you're just like, okay.
Cool. Have you done those, Annie? Have you done those?
I haven't done those. I'm a little wary of multi-person use hot tub on a lake. They look like the water is right at the surface of the top of the hot tub, and I'm like, how do people not drown in those things? And they have a live fire to heat the water on the boat. Yeah. So I'm just like, I guess it works, but it just feels like so many things could go wrong. I have done the paddle boats.
Cool.
I've done paddle boarding. I've kayaked out on the lake quite a few times. There's also the electric boats that you can rent and have a group of like 10 people. I hosted an event out on the middle of the water one time. So a T5 geocaching event, and people showed up in the electric boats. They showed up in little rubber rafts, paddle boards, kayaks, everything. And it, unfortunately, Ground Zero kept moving because the water kept moving us around, and we have to like paddle back to where Ground Zero was every few minutes. Yeah. And then you have the seaplanes that are taking off left and right out there. And so that's, that's one of those other, like, you often see the seaplanes from the office going up over the Aurora Bridge as they've just taken off from Lake Union. And that's just a special sight. There's not that many places that have seaplanes as a regular, you know, form of transportation. Yes. So
unless you go to Alaska or somewhere like
that. Of course,
That's the main form of transportation, but not everyone can get to Alaska. So
Exactly. So.
Yeah. So for people who have not visited this neighborhood, I mean, Seattle is just, it's surrounded by water, but this whole neighborhood is just kind of surrounded by water. It's just, it is really,
it's
a really beautiful location. Yes. Yeah. It's really special.
You get some great sunset views or sunrise views, you know, not usually at the office that early for sunrise, but some people have posted some cool pictures looking out over Lake Union of the sunrise. So, yeah.
So, Josh, rumor has it as well that I've heard about that if you're in the Seattle area and you want to meet all the lackeys at the same time, just actually host an event at lunchtime, literally out the front. There's a little area where you can host out the front, and people have hosted events out the front, and all the lackeys come down for lunch. So there you go.
Countless events out there. Like it's really awesome for us, you know. Like I know those events end up being mostly lackeys at them, but. You know, it's a really great chance. So often we're just sitting at our desks and not getting to, you know, we're not always interacting with geocachers. And that's just kind of a fun way to meet people from all over the world. I remember not too long ago, there was a group from France that was there. And so we posed with the, you know, their flags that they brought. And that was a lot of fun. There'll be the meet the Norwegians or meet the Aussies or whoever, you know, and just everyone's hosting events out there. And it's just a really special experience. And I can imagine, you know, people in the neighborhood are like, what's going on? Why is there just random groups of circles of people out there in that plaza every now and then, sometimes every day. So, yeah. But it's cool for us. And yeah. As long as you know that it's one of our work days, you'll probably get some lackeys at your event.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
All right. One more thing I want to talk about that. If you Google cool things in Fremont. Mm-hmm. This didn't come up and I was shocked. I was surprised.
Yep.
It is the cherry tree. cherry tree, which was a geocache, but I think, oh my gosh, it got archived.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's like one of the most popular got chopped down.
It's one of the most popular geocaches in the world and it got archived.
Yeah. So,
what happened?
Unfortunately, I don't know if it was the city or the person who owned that place, needed to cut the tree down. And, I know, I'm sorry. So go look, there's, you know, videos you can find of the cherry tree. And someone really needs to replicate it somewhere someday because it was fantastic. But, you know, this was something, the cache was just sort of it was like a happy accident cache, you know, probably because the tree was already there. I didn't even realize there was a tree with all these chairs in it, but some, you know, the artist guy that lived nearby that tree, he just put a bunch of chairs, all different sizes of chairs, like little, you know, Barbie doll chairs, bigger, you know, bigger doll chairs,
rocking
chairs, a little bit of everything.
Homemade. And the chairs we're talking about, I was going to say, the chairs we're talking about, because people don't understand, because obviously this isn't an audio-only podcast, but not a cherry tree, a chair, C-H-A-I-R. And these chairs are small in size. They're not really that big as such, but they're all throughout this whole, tree itself. So, cherry tree. Right. I like the pun as well. The pun got me.
It was a really cool idea, and that's just that's the funkiness of Fremont, to have that, you know, someone to think of that random thing. And so the cache was really cool. Definitely look up videos of it, because I don't want to spoil the surprise until you see the video. But it was fun. So
I have a video of me completing much of the geo tour.
Awesome. Oh, of course.
Of course, there's spoilers in it. But if you don't know if you're ever going to get there, or if you just want to see the cherry tree, you can zoom to that.
Right.
Fast forward to that part.
Mm. Yep.
Now, I was going to say, Josh, as well, is that HQ have a new worker that was on our podcast last year, and he's now at the front desk. and he's the welcoming committee of headquarters. Yeah, and I think of his name now, Josh. What was his name again?
Jason Judd.
Jason Judd. And because he was proud of his town in regards to him doing the geo tour in his town, and he's since moved now to Seattle and works at headquarters. See, so there you go. They take anyone, Josh. They take anyone.
we're happy to have Jason, and it's you know, for the geocachers that come in, you know, they're gonna have a fantastic time talking to him, and you know, he's got the passion for the game for sure. So and becomes infectious, you know, when you're around other cachers that care the way you do and get obsessive the way you do. So,
and that's what I was going to say as well, Annie, and thank you very much for everything you do. And again, you're one of those things where you're a player first and foremost, and you have a love for the game, and you just so happen to now, you know, work for the same sort of company. But it is so refreshing from another player's standpoint to actually have like the game run by actual players, rather than just by, you know, people who don't actually play the game and just there for whatever reason, for a job, you know. So thank you again for all you do.
I always have to thank the community, you know, because this game doesn't exist without the community creating the fun adventures for all of us. And, you know, we're just trying to make the tools, you know, easier to use and give you more options to cache more often. And, you know, but it's really the community putting events together, putting really fun caches together, organizing, you know, caching days with groups of caching friends. Like, you know, it's just, I'm heading out tomorrow to go visit one of the Northwest trolls, you know, with local caching friends that I met through the game, and really excited about that. And that's the sort of thing that happens all the time. And it's special. It's hard to replicate that. I know other communities have their bonds, you know, Pokemon trading cards or what have you, like, but I think we're pretty special with what our community has. So
it really is. It really
you know what, Craig?
Yeah.
You know, just listening to Annie talk, it's very clear that she is proud of where she works. She's proud of the game she plays. She's proud of the geocaching community. And ultimately, she's proud of her town.
Yeah, I am.
That's a rare thing these days.
Yep.
It's a damn rare thing these days.
It is. You know, as much as I travel, as much as I leave Seattle, every time I come back, I'm just like, wow, I love this town. You know, I literally went for a hike in Bellevue, which is the next town over, you know, last weekend, and just driving across the water, you know, on one of the floating bridges and looking at the skyline of the city. It was just like, I'm happy I live here. Like, this is a special place. And you know, and I get to live in a special little neighborhood for it, you know, and work in a special neighborhood. And I still pinch myself where I'm at.
And Josh, speaking of being proud as well, we're proud of our Patreons.
Mm.
We're very proud of our Patreons.
Yeah, we are. But before we get there, let me just say this.
Yeah.
I have one more thing to say.
Okay.
And that is, people know Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
They know all the touristy spots. You got to get someday in your life, if you haven't been, you got to get to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point of this show is to focus on this neighborhood and in your itinerary, take a half day. Maybe you could spend a whole day there. Walk around, visit the shops. We didn't even get to talking about the restaurants.
There's all
kinds of probably great. There's so much great food there. Mm-hmm. I've been there 3 times and I haven't even touched it all. Like there's so much to see and do.
Yeah.
And that's what this podcast is about, is kind of plucking out those little hidden gems that maybe people don't always think of,
right?
Especially when they think of Seattle.
It's a special place. We're happy to welcome you anytime.
Great. Annie, before we talk about Patreon, tell the people where they can find you, because you're all over the world. How can people follow you?
Let's see. Yeah, I'm on Facebook with a fake name because I like funky things and love the movie Pulp Fiction. So my Facebook name is Mia Wallace. Also on Instagram under similar name. So, on geocaching, love, because that's all you need. It's my last name.
That's all you need is love.
So yeah, you can friend me on there. Have lots of caching friends from around the world, but yeah, happy to receive messages on the message center there as well.
And Josh, you always know as well, the old school geocachers, they're the ones with like just the word love, or just, you know, Fred and Wilma.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
they're not like, you know, Bob. Yeah. They're not like, you know, Batman 357214. Like,
right.
Yep.
Very, very true. But Josh, we've got to talk about Patreon now because we just recently released a golden nugget.
Annie, I don't know if you know this, but this podcast released golden nuggets, little treasures.
Like it.
And we released a couple this week from our trip to Orlando. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's only for the people that support this podcast, who we all just really support.
Yep.
So if you're enjoying what you're hearing and you'd like to support this podcast so we continue to bring great stuff like we did today, just go to patreon.com/treasuresofourtown and you can sign up there at different levels. And we would just appreciate and love your support. And there's perks like some of those golden nuggets.
And as that's always awesome. The reason for it is because there's no other annoying ads in these audio podcasts at all. We just get straight to the point, Josh, and straight into it. So I like it a lot. Thank you very much, Annie, for joining us. We do really appreciate everything you do. Meanwhile, Josh, how can people follow or find us or contact us if they wish to?
Yes, feel free to reach out to us at treasuresofourtownpodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
And so that's it for our show for today. Please subscribe, rate, review on your favorite podcasting app. And as always, Josh,
may your travels always lead you to the most unexpected and amazing hidden gems around the world, like the center of the universe. See you next time, everybody. Bye, Annie.
Bye.